Hello everyone and welcome to JFG tonight. Lots of news we'll be covering tonight. We will be talking about what happened with Coach. He is safe right now. He is in a secret location. His family has been evacuated from Kharkov and they are very far from there in a secret location too. Coach has been targeted. Azeus says, are Ukrainian neo-Nazis attacking Coach or is it some other group? It's basically the Zelensky group, the pro-Zelensky anti-Russian groups funded by a billionaire. Coach Red Pill went over all this and how this billionaire ultimately is the guy who put Zelensky in power and who has kind of cultured this culture of neo-Nazism in Ukraine, the Azov Battalion and everything. And as he notes, you know, it's weird because the billionaire guy is a Jew, but he's a Jew who recruits battalions and funds battalions of neo-Nazis in this case because they're willing to do his job. And anyways, in Ukraine, you have to, with the mafia lifestyle there, you have to have armed private militias if you want to make it. And so this seems to be people sympathetic to this group, or this group straight out went after Coach. They actually killed someone else. They killed the mayor of a small town because they deemed him too pro-Russian. And it was a night of purges around Kharkov and in the east of Ukraine. It was a night of purges where the thugs of the Zelensky regime were purging the opposition, and Coach was on the list, as it turns out. And the modus operandi of the crew that went after him was very much like the one that killed the mayor. So what they did with the mayor is they kidnapped him from his house, and then they killed him far from there. With Coach, they were with the black SUV, they were ready to kidnap him, but Coach happened to go smoke a cigarette, and so he was not in his apartment, but his neighbor saw them knock at his apartment looking for him. And so Coach, he saw them go to not only toward his apartment but to the kind of receptionist that's there, because Coach lives in high cost apartments, you know, apartments for rich people. And and these tough guys started arguing with the receptionist after being disappointed that they hadn't found Coach in his apartment. And he saw the whole thing from smoking a cigarette just a couple of meters away, but somehow they didn't notice that he was there, or they looked at him and didn't notice that he was Coach Red Pill. This is amazing. He got saved by just the desire to go smoke a cigarette outside. And so now he ran away from his apartment, because it's good to have a luxury apartment, but if there are assassins coming for you, it's not the right place to be. So Coach has found a secret location around Kharkov, and so he's going to be at the same place. Hopefully they won't have a paper trace to find where he is. Coach went on an epic live stream, one of the most important live stream in history as far as I'm concerned, because here he is in the heart of the conflict and he just lays out how this Jewish billionaire who now lives in Sweden, I believe, he's coached Zelensky, and basically he made a balloon test out of Zelensky by running him as an actor in a TV show. And the whole TV show is about him becoming a president and joining NATO and the European Union. And basically they run this kind of gangsters of the banking industry in Ukraine that are very rich. They said, okay, we tested it on TV, it works, let's get him on actual presidency. And he tells the story of this, and it's shocking because those are the people going after him right now. And he could be dead, like the mayor of the town, because it was the same modus operandi. It was a black SUV with guys coming in looking for him. They succeeded at kidnapping the mayor. They didn't succeed at getting Coach Red Pill. What an amazing guy, standing in front of all this with minimal fear. Well, he will tell you that he's afraid, but just the fact that he's able to be functional in this context is quite quite honorable. Edge Security says, do you have a link to the coach live stream? Here it is. I will put it in the regular chat. By the way, I would like everyone, I will also put the link to his channel in the description. Go subscribe to the Gonzalo Lira channel on YouTube, because Coach has said in this moment of stress that he wants to attain 100,000 subscribers because he wants the YouTube plague. It's an emotional thing. He says, I know it's kind of childish, but he wants this plague. And so if you haven't subscribed yet, go subscribe to his YouTube channel. He says he doesn't care about the money. He just wants the plague. He wants to be acknowledged as a great YouTuber, and I think he is. I mean, if it wasn't of the targeting, the demonetization, and the whole thing, he would already have his plague. But that's the problem. Also, YouTube starts shutting you down when you're on your way to success. Jeffrey Epstein sends 100 LBC. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, in case you didn't know, I am the ghost of Kiev. Well, 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 Jeffrey Epstein, you know, worldwide pimp of female prostitution and massage business at day. But at night, he takes his MiG-29 and shoots Russians in the skies of Ukraine. Isn't that a poetic thing to think about? But it's probably not true. Thank you for the support, though. Join me on Entropy. It is my favorite platform for super chats. It is the right place to send me your questions and super chats if you'd like to support the show. Will Coach make it alive? That is the question tonight. My God, he's been lucky up to now. But he's resisting a corrupt regime in a very corrupt country. That is, like, I'm a guy of honesty, but and I'm a guy of truth, but I'll be very honest. If I was in a situation like Coach Red Pill, my existence would probably take priority over the truth. But Coach doesn't give a fuck. He just makes his stream against the regime that's now trying to kill him. To be honest, I would probably shut down the stream if I was in a situation like him, where my life could be taken or my family could be attacked. I might just shut up for a couple of weeks. But Coach, he's a different kind. He fears nothing, and he shares his mind, and as it turns out, it has led him to Russian TV. Tim sent a super chat during the night, $15. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, hi, Jeff. I appreciate your coverage of Ukraine. Would your ideal minarchist libertarian country be able to hold its own in a world with bigger fish that want to gobble it up? Will more authoritarian societies ultimately win because they can command and coordinate more people toward growth? That is a big question, and it's an important one. I'm not suggesting that I have the solution to it. And it's true that if you're truly in a libertarian society where you cannot conscript people, this could be a problem. However, let's be clear. Most of the war efforts of the modern time is all about having a professional army with professional technology. So ultimately, it all boils down to an economic, like to a purchase. It's how much material can you purchase and what is the quality of it. And from that perspective, I think a libertarian society could very well have produce so much that the surplus would be sufficient to fund a professional army. And so I've always said that minarchist, what it means is that you want the smallest states possible, but not the state that will abolish itself, not the state to the point where you won't have defenses against criminality or against invasion. So I'm totally for making an exception to libertarian principles by saying, look, if we don't have a police, if we don't have a judiciary, and if we don't have an army, it won't survive. So I'm for it. People are reporting lag on the stream. Too bad. Hopefully this resolves quickly. All right, and Twig Squadron sends $7. Thank you so much for supporting the show. And yeah, to complete my answer on the Libertarian Society, so what I say is we could cap the army and say, okay, we're going to dedicate 5% of everything that everyone has, basically a kind of tax. And, you know, I'd be open at considering certain forms of voluntary taxation for this. Like, you could have people give more than a set amount if they want to have a stronger army. But that's the tragedy of the commons, of course. It's that if you have something that defends everyone at the same time, there's not much other means than force to obtain the just payment for sustaining that thing. Like, the police protects everyone, the army protects everyone. And so it makes sense that everyone would have to pay for it. I just want a system in which, okay, that payment could happen. And yes, it could be in violation of pure libertarian principles, but it would be done in a way as, and also to, it would be done in a way that ensures this doesn't become an excuse for the state to constantly grow in its bureaucratic part. Twig Squadron sends $7. Thank you so much. He says, Kraut's Discord server has reached out to the Azov Battalion to take care of this bizarre renter spreading dangerous misinformation. This could very well be Kraut going back at Coach Red Pill. Who knows, you know? Kraut is a European, and I think he's been in Eastern Europe for some shady stuff. So who knows, maybe Kraut is, has his electrical stimulators on his tits, and he's like stimulating himself, and, Coach Red Pill, I will get to you! I will get to you! It's a possibility, distinct possibility. Fluorid sends $6. Thank you so much. He says he probably won't make it. Gangsterism is where the billionaire thrives, but I have hope for him. If he does die, may he be a martyr for real journalism, as he is a good man. Absolutely, that's the way I see it. You know, if he was to die, it would only be a testament at just how hardcore this guy likes the truth. He just, and he would die in a, he would die in a bath of truth. And isn't it the best way to die in the end, if you really like the truth? I find what he does absolutely commendable. And, you know, I very little times in my life have I developed such high respect for a human being. It's Coach Red Pill is something. Meanwhile, in Kiev, that was yesterday night, right after our show.
What the hell was that?
It was a really bright light.
I know. I don't know. It's almost like lightning. Because it's a big flash. And then...
And we have heard the shockwave of the sound coming much later than the light. I've calculated the distance of this explosion from the camera crew, and it depends whether the boom was from the first flash or the second flash. But if the boom was from the second flash, this was a bomb that was 1.7 miles away from them. If it was from the first flash, it was perhaps 3 to 10 miles away from them. So it depends, but in any case, this crew was close to an important explosion happening in Kiev. So the bombardment of Kiev has been continuing. There was some good comments yesterday on the show regarding the rape of Ukrainian woman by Russian military, because someone was concerned trolling saying, "What about they will get raped?" And I was going down on this guy hard because you cannot assume that Ukrainian woman will get raped because it's a war. It seems to have been a very clean war up to now. All of the efforts have been developed by Russia. All of the efforts have been developed by Russia to avoid striking civilian targets. But of course, the opposition, the Ukraine resistance, has been deploying its military equipment in urban context. So, but in any case, this girl has a very good take. She says Ukraine is the biggest gateway of human trafficking, especially sex trafficking, from Eastern Europe into Western Europe and beyond to Canada and America, specifically via Odessa. This is part of the larger criminal state of affairs that is throughout Ukraine. Women will be better off comparatively under a Russian-secured Ukraine. I work human trafficking cases in America, and this is something well known about Ukraine in law enforcement. I fully agree. The state of corruption in Ukraine is so high, it can only get better under a Russian administration. If you really want to boil it down to a consequentialist argument, the consequences of the Russian invasion long term will probably spare a lot of human suffering, a lot of extortion, a lot of oppression, a lot of bribery. One moment. All right. And there is a critique. I don't know where these critiques come from. They seem to be very pro-Ukraine, but they tend to miss the point. Missio was saying, "Why do you spread lies? Ukraine has obligatory military service, exactly like Russia." So first, don't accuse me of spreading a lie if I haven't said the opposite of what you're saying. Did I say yesterday that Ukraine doesn't have obligatory military service? What I said yesterday is that Zelensky, by keeping men from leaving Ukraine, men between 18 and 60, and by making men between 18 and 60 automatically enrolled in the army, he has made a conscription, and he has decided that civilians would be shot by the Russian military. That is all I said. I didn't say there's no obligatory military service. It's very different from an obligatory military service, what Zelensky has done. He has made an instant obligatory for all adults to join the army, and he made it impossible for them to leave the country. So don't accuse me of spreading lies when I haven't said anything wrong. Women and children were evacuated. There's many videos from the frontiers with Poland, Slovakia, and Romania. Yes, but did I say that the Zelensky regime is forcing women to fight? No. I said the Zelensky regime is forcing men to fight. And it's also irresponsibly arming women who want to fight. All men of Ukraine had to undergo a military service. It's the law that is in Ukraine from always. Okay, but I haven't said anything against this. There's a difference between obligated military service for a year, for all youth, let's say, and everyone who's an adult is suddenly conscribed in the army and can't leave the country. So the men left are not civilians. Oh, well, there is a difference between a trained army professional who spent decades in the army and someone who spent a year training somewhat in the army. They are civilians to me because they haven't spent the vast majority of their adult life training for the purpose of military defense. In my country, there used also to be a obligatory military service, and I had to undergo it like every man of my age. Almost every man learned how to use a weapon, and all men left the military with a military degree as a soldier of the reserves. If a man didn't want to learn weapons, he could do medical formation or similar supportive formation. That doesn't matter. I haven't said anything about this. The fact is, these people may have some training in handling weapons, but it's not enough training. It's not comparable to a professional army that is much more numerous than you, invading you and also bombarding you with high-tech stuff. I maintain my comments of yesterday in full, and I deny your attack that I, your claim that I'm a liar. Stephen Robinson says, "Hey JF, did you see this memo from the Russian embassy in Canada?" Yes, I've seen it. That memo. It's just Russian saying that they are trying to hit a military target, and that the problem is that they are faced with Azov battalion and other militias and the Ukrainian army using the urban warfare context and installing their installations in civilian buildings. So what do you want them to do? Not bombard the Ukrainian army because they're sitting on a in a residential apartment? How Russia is moving across Ukraine as Kharkiv is pounded and Kyiv's schools demolished. Strikes overnight in Kyiv. There is lots of progression on the south. We had already had a confirmed takeover of Kherson yesterday. But now the army is advancing toward Mykolaiv, and they are preparing a circling of Mykolaiv. So that will be an important siege, just like the siege of Mariupol. And once this is completed, they will be very close to completing the blockade of the southern border, the whole border with the Black Sea. And so that's an important one. Of course, there will be Odessa left. I don't know if the Ukrainian army will put up a fight also in Odessa. But right now, what seems to be developing is the siege around Mykolaiv. And today we have seen bombardments also happening on the Eastern Front, which presumably will be used as a way to eventually progress further on the Eastern Front. YouTuber CRP explaining he has to run from the Ukraine because of Bitcoin assassins. Well, that's not a very good representation of what's happening. There was speculation on Telegram that there was a crew of Bitcoin assassins going after Coach Red Pill, basically people putting a price on the head of Coach Red Pill, and it would have been $15,000, which is very small. But that was the claim on Telegram. Coach Red Pill mentioned that claim. However, I think that who's after him are the very same people who have killed the mayor of a small town in eastern Ukraine, because they worked in the exact same way. It could be the very same people. And it doesn't look like this is for a bounty on the internet for Bitcoin. It looks like it is for because there is currently a purge of pro-Russian or people who are perceived as pro-Russian in the east of Ukraine by these private militias funded by billionaires and by the system as a whole. So they're using the context of the chaos created by the war to do their dirty dealings even more than they would have in regular Ukraine, which they were already doing. So important developments on the map. Well, as I mentioned, the siege of Mykolaiv, which is the city to which the people who were here in Kherson, who survived the assault on Kherson, and now Kherson full takeover is confirmed. The Ukrainian army has retreated to Mykolaiv, and I don't know how much of a fight they can put up there, because if they left much of their equipment behind, it's not clear whether they will be able to defend Mykolaiv for any duration. But the Russian army has progressed, and they are encircling this town now. So there will be, they seem to have went through the Eastern Front. They have not yet succeeded at crossing to the Western Front to make a close onto this city, but they might not need to. So Coach Red Pill in his stream talks about the pro-Russian mayor of city in eastern Ukraine who welcomed Putin's invasion is found shot dead in the street after being kidnapped from his home. Mayor of city of Kremina, Vladimir Strzok, was shot dead after being abducted. Advisor for Interior Minister of Ukraine announced the news on Facebook today. Anton Garachenko said in the last week he actively took a Russian position. Strzok was an active supporter of pro-Russian Luhansk People's Republic. The pro-Russian mayor of a city in eastern Ukraine who welcomed President Vladimir Putin's invasion was shot dead after being kidnapped from his home. It has been announced Vladimir Strzok of Kremina was killed on Tuesday and suffered a gunshot wound to the heart after he was abducted from his home. So that's those are the people who went after Coach Red Pill. So Coach Red Pill would have had a shot straight to the heart if they had their way. Thankfully, he has now escaped and he is in a safe place. And Coach Red Pill in his stream talks about Ihor Kolomoisky. This guy, Ihor Kolomoisky. And he tells this story, and it's quite fascinating. Essentially, he's the guy who made Zelensky the leader in Ukraine. He's the guy who made sure that there was a TV show featuring Zelensky as an actor where he was playing a president. They used this to test the population, to test the credibility of Zelensky as a president. And in the TV show, Zelensky was the president and he was getting Ukraine into the European Union and NATO. And so they used TV as a way to get their way politically. And he eventually made sure that Zelensky would win. Coach Red Pill tells the story of this guy as being essentially a failed politician himself. He had tried to run as a politician, had failed, had scored very low, so he's using Zelensky as a puppet. And he's also a funder of these private militias, like the one that appears to have been attempting to assassinate Coach Red Pill, and including the Azov Battalion. So this group of true neo-Nazis that are operating in Ukraine, making sure that the wills of the top are being implemented at the bottom in Ukraine. So it's a fascinating stream. He says it straight to his face. He looks at the power that tried to get at him, and he's basically exposing them. It's fascinating. Rick Shermantal says, right now, Russian troops are bombing the biggest nuclear power plant in Europe. The power plant has already been hit. How do you like that, guys? You know, I'm not super worried. I think the dangers of an explosion of a power plant are often mistakenly overestimated. For an explosion to happen, you need to put more nuclear reactant in the nuclear reactor. It seems that most acts of destruction and most lost bullets will just slowly disable. And there might be leaks of fuel that was stored with the hope of inserting it in the nuclear reactor. But I think that the risks are relatively low. I'm not alarmed. So I understand it can be nerve-wracking, and you know, there were accidents before. There was Chernobyl, but Chernobyl, I believe, was not a case of mechanical damage coming in and creating the explosion. I believe it was errors of as part of a test. I think they pushed the machine too far, and somehow they might have put too much nuclear reactant. And so, yeah, yes, there is some amount of fighting happening in the south around these big nuclear power plants. We had covered this yesterday. And yes, Go Away mentions Fukushima. Fukushima, I believe, is the case not of a nuclear explosion happening, but the case of a leak. I would have to research what happened there. But I'm not sure a massive ecological catastrophe is about to happen. I think that there will be a reasonable conclusion, and yes, there will be fights around the plants, but, you know, Zelensky, you have the choice. Don't put your troops in the plant. Guy from V says, there's a communication blackout from Russia to the public. This could be a setup to frame them and trigger something. Just know there's a assault at Hanford nuclear facility in Washington also. Oh yeah, yesterday there was an event where a shooter showed, I think it's unrelated to the Ukraine stuff. But yes, there was this event. Oh yeah, it was a tsunami, the Fukushima. So it was a tsunami that destroyed physically the building, which led to a leak. This could happen, presumably, under fire, a similar mechanical damage, but we'd only be facing a leak, really. And this can be handled. All right. What else did I want to talk about? ICANN, the Internet Administration, basically, says it won't kick Russia off the internet. So right now there is a lot of breaking up in the internet infrastructure. 2 hours ago, it was reported that Google Android Play Store and Apple Play Store and Google seems to have difficulties in Russia. It's not clear yet what is happening. Is it Google blocking the Russian IPs? Is it Russia blocking its own people from accessing these IPs? Everything is possible, but there's a war for the internet as we know it, in terms of the internet remaining open. But ICANN will not be isolating Russia from the rest of the world. They have answered to the request by the Ukrainian government, and they said, we're not an authority for punishing people. We are merely a... First, they said, from a technological standpoint, what you request doesn't exist. We can't... That, I would say, is a little bit of bullshit. I'm pretty sure they can design their... They can design network systems and routers to ignore certain IPs. But they said, we won't do it, because despite the fact that you may be that this war may be the seat of horrors and we may object to them, we are not an authority meant for punishing countries. Riding the Tiger says, JF, is Russia Today website blocked in Canada? It has been in the UK. Well, I can test it right now. I would be very surprised. Canada is not the kind of country to do this. No, I still have access. So it's more of a European thing, going after websites. Go Away says, isn't the internet considered a human right now? Wouldn't this be like cutting off water to all of Russia? Yes, I would agree. And most importantly than caring about the people, honestly, I care about the internet. I care about the internet remaining what it is, an open society. Rodilacid says, JF, will the phone book kick Russia too? there's been a lot of kicking Russia. I mean, they've been cancelled from cat competitions at this point. Olympics. Coach Red Pill was mentioning on his stream Special Olympics, and he was imagining the Down syndrome, you know, guy who's trained all year to be ready for the Special Olympics, and he's getting told, no, you know, you won't be able to go to the Olympics. And he was thinking, you know, the Down syndrome guy will be like, oh my God, did I do something wrong? Why am I being punished? It was beautiful to see Coach Red Pill imagine this situation. Raised Fist says, it's unbelievable. JF is not like 90% pro-Russia. He is 100%. He tries to justify everything. Well, in my business, you have to take a perspective. I chose the perspective on this war that initially, at least, and I could change my mind on this. By the way, I'm not influenced by funding sources. I'm merely taking that position as an intellectual. And I think, what is the best position to take here? And I've chosen a perspective. So yes, I'm going to stand by my perspective unless it's changed by the circumstances or the developments. This is not something to be criticized. Lapitop says business. Well, yeah, I mean, this show is a business. It's a business to be producing to my audience what I think is the best news show I can produce in my circumstances. So it's not a business in the sense that I'm getting paid by shadowy money from anyone, because I'm not. I'm not accepting any funding, and I've never got funded in a way as to influence my view on the news or my view on developments. But it's still a business. It's still a business in the sense that you guys sending super chats is what keeps me going. And if you were to stop sending super chats one day, I might have to go work to McDonald's. Steven Robinson says, JF, did you get a chance to see Bill Gates' video today postulating whether or not Putin will be assassinated by a member of his own party? I've not watched this. Bill Gates, to me, is a secondary concern for now because there's so much news to be gathered for the night's show. I have limited time to view long videos going on to hypothetical trends, but yeah, it's possible. I've raised the possibility that Putin will be killed, possibly by missile strike, if they know his position. He has to be extremely careful. But I'm guessing that they have the competence in Russia to know, you know, given how tough Russia is, I would suspect that Putin is protected in every possible way. I hope for him. New Nation says, hey, JF, why is it that women never cast shame on each other if they have an unfaithful partner, i.e. accusations of cuckoldry? Why is this only something men do? accusations of cuckoldry. Yeah, it's an interesting question. It's a very interesting question. There is a differential there. So what could it be? I guess there are all sorts of psychological explanations where people would say, oh, it's because of pride. And yes, you know, if males have to be equipped with the cognitive structure for pride and women don't have to, then it will lead to after effects of that kind where men will call each other cucks, but women won't. I don't know. I don't know why that would be the case. But I'll let my brain run on this question, and maybe I'll find an explanation. The Ukrainian Navy's flagship appears to have been scuttled. The pride of the Ukrainian Navy's fleet, the frigate Hetman Sahadakhny, is now partially sunk. Look at this, and they want us to believe that everything is good and that the Ukrainian military is in a victorious position. Now, they're saying that it could be the Ukrainian themselves. It's not clear. The article both presents the hypothesis that it could be a missile strike by Russia, or it could be the Ukrainian themselves that would have blown it to ensure that the Russians wouldn't take it under control. But in any case, it's a defensive position. It's a losing position. If you have to blow your biggest boat of your army, you're not in a winning position. So whether they did it or the Russians did it, it's now sunk, and it's going to be unusable for the duration of this war, presumably. Very interesting discovery. It seems this, if it's as presented, this seems like it's a targeting chip. So it seems that Russians are going around identifying buildings for airstrike and putting these chips right here. Look at this. I was not aware of this technology. Presumably there is some kind of GPS thing or something that's detectable to planes. And they stick it onto the building, and that would mean that the building has been marked for a airstrike. I didn't know that this was existing. It's quite interesting. Russia's Ministry of Defense has released a new video footage of Russian troops and military vehicles advancing towards the Ukrainian capital. So that's to show a positive outlook on the advancement of the Russian troops and probably do some publicity in Russia. So those are pontoons that can be deployed like in a place where you have no functional bridge. So there's been a lot of bombing of bridges by the Ukrainian side, but presumably these pontoons can be put together relatively quick and can allow the forces to cross rivers. Helicopters, tanks, vehicles advancing. Interesting to see these machines at work. A Iskander missile has been shot down by the Kyiv air defense. Look at this. It looks like a giant penis, but it is a missile. I mean, this is massive. This looks very big. Kyiv's air defense shut down a Russian cruise missile over the city. Wow, that would blow hard. I hadn't realized that missiles were that big. Meanwhile, some missiles aren't shut down and are making it into Kyiv. So here we have the destruction around Kyiv of an apartment complex, completely destroyed at the middle. Everything fell and then completely burned on the sides. so there is quite a lot of destruction that is being imposed onto these buildings. Urgent Russian forces are seen targeting, that was from earlier today. Russian forces are seen targeting an oil refinery in the Chernihiv region in northeastern Ukraine. You can see the columns of smoke, and look at this, the big fuel tanks. More and more, the energy infrastructure of the Ukraine army and the Ukraine country as a whole are getting targeted, and they will be lacking fuel very soon if this continues. Apartment buildings on fire, apparently from the opposite side of the river around Kyiv. Fire here resulting from bombardments and artillery. There were fires that were spotted around Kyiv also here.
Короче, район где-то то ли парк Шевченко, то ли. О, летит, блядь. Сука!
Твою мать! Missiles coming from the sky, exploding. What else did we have? The Chaika airfield west of Kyiv, which is a place for planes to take off, has been put under heavy strike, and here I guess there's some fire developing. Island player says, lol, we are expected to believe that. Well, what are you talking about? I mean, those are videos. Do you think that the videos are fake? It's like, it does seem like there's a war going on. Maybe some of the videos we will end up discovering after the fact that they were improperly labeled, but it's hard to believe that the overall story that is told by these pictures and videos is completely false. Here, and he says, yes, all fake. Okay, well, everything is fake. You can take this stance, but it won't lead you to be able to know what's going on in the world. You have to you have to accept that while there is some degree of uncertainty and there's the fog of war and the lies, this will always be present. But you can't make a fake war with hundreds of videos coming from hundreds of different people. Callum Ox says, Ukraine is CGI. It doesn't actually exist. Oh, now you're in the flat earther type of stuff. The second TOS Sonsepec, a full ammunition load tank, were captured. So those missile throwers, apparently they were covered, but this contains missile throwers captured by the Ukrainian forces. So there is some amount of equipment that ends up in the hands of the Ukrainian. The aftermath of the fighting earlier this morning in Borodyanka district, Kiev, Ukraine. A drone has been flying over the city and you can see the buildings destroyed, the convoys of Russian tank destroyed and stopped. Airstrikes having massive destructive effects. So Island Playa says, Jeff needs to wake his ass up. Look, I've had this, you know, we've had a guest one day on the show who was coming in and arguing that some missile that struck a plane, was it in Iran or close to Iran? Anyways, he was coming with a conspiracy theory that it was all fake, and I've not seen this man since then. He was ashamed because he was wrong with his theory that it was all fake. So, no, I mean, I have a record of finding something relatively close to the truth. I don't think I could be fooled into thinking that a war is happening when it's not. You have to start believing these images. They are not doable by CGI. Firefighters hose down a burning building after bombing in Kiev. So you can see the firefighters trying to reduce the damage made by the fire. We see more images of destroyed and abandoned Russian tanks here.
Їду з низів на Суми міста. Так. Вон, блядь, стоїть засмалений. Ось вони, йобані кацапи, стояли, блядь. На наше місто стріляли, блядь, підараси, блядь, кончені. Ось вони, блядь, освободителі, блядь, ось ваша, блядь, техніка отйобана, блядь. Ось, дивіться, що москаля.
So I don't know if they've been, if the people who were driving these tanks may have been killed, or it could be that they just left them on the side of the road and are elsewhere. Go away, says Jeff. None of these wars over territory will even matter once we are all living our best lives in the metaverse. Zuckerberg will liberate us from this folly. Can't wait. Well, okay, but the real world still matters. The real world, even if you were fully into a Matrix-style metaverse, you would still be stuck with the limits of energy and the fact that your human embryo population kept into the virtual world, they would need some energy to survive. And this energy would be acquired by nothing else than farms, territory, and economic activity of some kind. Or else you're going to die in your metaverse and you won't even realize it, probably, because they'll probably program your metaverse feelings so that you don't even know that you're gonna die. So that they can avoid harm and avoid bad feelings, you know, which is what the metaverse is all about. The possible wreckage of a Russian Su-34 bomber in Irpin. Sometimes, you know, things that get stricken in the air, they fall in pieces and they catch fire. This was a fire that is destroying this house. And we've had videos taken from inside this house to see the destruction after this fire.
Oh,
there's water coming in. Everything is destroyed. All right, so that was in the Kyiv region, in Hatne, a suburb of Kyiv. There are things destroyed, like gyms in Kyiv, or around Kyiv, not technically, maybe in Kyiv. There were bombardments at night, right after the show of yesterday. So that's probably a similar flash to what we've seen in the mainstream media. Could be another angle of the same, or could be a different flash bomb. This is the scene of the destroyed building that we've seen earlier. Active fire, sides of buildings that are completely destroyed. All right, Nicholas Petris says the NPCs just can't break away from the MSM hive mind narrative. Nice on systems. Go away says a coach red pill just flew over my house. Okay. Yes, I agree, Nicholas Petris. A damaged bridge and destroyed armored vehicles at Irpin in northwest Kyiv, but that was from a couple of days ago, but the photo, I just obtained it. So the Ukrainians have been very intent on destroying their own bridges to slow down the advancement of the Russian army. But I'm afraid this can only be a slowdown. I'm afraid that this won't stop the army. What do we have here? This is combating happening, I believe, in the Eastern Front. Some artillery being shot, or maybe they're missiles. I'm not an expert on these things. So that's how they are bombarding, and that's how you end up with the damage on the next morning. A Fab 500 Soviet design 500 kilogram explosive bomb close to an apartment block in Chernihiv. That's what some residents are finding underground. 500 kilos. That is a gigantic bomb. It would seem that this one has not exploded. So these things are very dangerous. I mean, I don't understand at all how someone can stand there and take a picture of this. If I see this, I run for a kilometer at least. I'm never going to be the guy to gather these lost missiles. I'm like, what guarantee do you have that it won't blow right now? And you know, they've installed a whole rope around it. Apparently they want to carry it around. Are you insane? Like, what is the system that makes these things explode? I don't fully understand. Dead Ribbit says, lol, go throw a rope on it and see if you can drag it around. I wouldn't do this. I would run and run. Meanwhile, Kyiv center downtown is getting these installations. Let me tell you, I don't believe this is very efficient. They have cut railways, to make these X's that gives kind of a Débarquement Normandie style of look, but I don't think this is a very efficient anti-tank defense. First, I think this is going to slide extremely easily. This could basically be pushed around by any vehicle, tank included, potentially, and in any case, it can be bombarded. They're presenting this as anti-tank hedgehogs. This will not slow down the Russian army by 1 minute. And I get, maybe they have other strategies. Maybe they're going to be with Molotov cocktails around, keeping the Russian army from displacing these things. Maybe. But it looks to me like if you don't have the personnel to defend these things, they're going to be removable within a minute. It's clownish almost, and it tells you the kind of mindset in which the resistance on the Ukraine side is thinking. Like, look at this. You think this is going to stop tanks? What is happening here? Total fakery, says Island Player. Well, that is fakery in terms of efficient defense. DK Shadow says one heat round will get rid of those easy. Yeah, I think it's kind of a psychological thing where they wanted to convince themselves that they were working at creating an efficient defense strategy, but they're not. Azeus says, wow, that might stop one Kia. I've been driving small cars, my friend, and I think I could drive this off the road with my smallest car ever. Russia, this is presented as Russia's liberation, of course, in a sarcastic way. I think what he means is this cannot be seen as a good action. So those are photos we've already reviewed of different parts, mostly around Kiev. So Kiev is under siege, and we're still seeing some of that coverage that says, oh, the progression of the Russian army is going slow. But I think that right now the Russian army is mostly concerned at gaining south and at maintaining its siege of Kiev from the north. And eventually what we're going to get potentially is the forces from the south will eventually be putting more pressure on Kiev, probably through air bombardment, but they might also drive tanks from the south to Kiev, and then there would be a three-way surrounding. Coach Red Pill was describing the strategy of the Russian army as being always kind of catching the target with a V, with two fronts, essentially in a V-shaped kind of. I've seen the plans of the Russian military, and it looked pretty much like this. There was an arc circle that was a northwest siege, and then there was an arrival of tanks from the northeast, and there were bombardments coming from two directions from the south. Hannity is salivating for a war. On his program last night, Hannity called for the assassination of President Putin.
And they need humanitarian and medical aid. And while we're at it, Vladimir Putin, he needs to go. He's a murdering thug with nuclear weapons, committing atrocities in Ukraine, invading a sovereign, innocent country. We see all the images. He is killing children, he is killing women, and he's killing men. And he's trying to take over that country. And now Putin has deployed 400 mercenaries in Ukraine to hunt down, to assassinate President Zelensky. Now, Putin, I've been saying it all week, it's interesting the media finally picked it up, Putin has got to be stopped by whatever means necessary, one way or another.
So they're starting to root for the assassination of Putin. We'll see if they get their way. It's certainly in the cards, and I'm pretty sure that the American military right now is preparing plans for it to be possible. Now the question is, will Joe Biden order something like this, and will it be realized effectively? Those are the questions left to answer. End of the line, Joel says, Hannity is a bonehead conservative. Yes, definitely. Jeff says just that. He says, if you'd like some levity for all of your viewers, load up and play this vid. Triggered liberal cries at Grapevine, Texas City Council.
Citizen comment.
Okay, I guess we can have a look if you are so inclined.
Do we have any?
Yes, sir, I have two.
Okay. Any person who's not scheduled on the agenda may address the city council under citizen comments on any or other agenda item that by completing a citizen's appearance request form with the city secretary. A member of the public may address the city council regarding an item on the agenda either before or during the council's consideration of that item upon being recognized by the mayor or the city council. In accordance with the Texas Open Meetings Law, the city council is restricted in discussing or taking any action.
Okay, so first of all, I just want to talk about in 2016, it all started. It started with Donald Trump. And just because he isn't in office anymore, that doesn't mean the side effects are still not here. We have people wearing Make America Great Again hats, people who deny science. They deny what they hear on the media. When they are clearly here to help, they show us the death toll. They show us what we should be doing in our daily lives. So take the advice from the experts. Stop denying science. I recently was in a divorce with my ex-wife because she used to work for NASA and she denied the science. She said it was all CGI.
Oh my God. Is this a troll? Yeah, I mean, at this point, I'm suspecting the troll because really? You're that cocked that you had a Republican wife and you left her because she was too right-wing on the COVID question?
Yeah, I'm fake. And she also wouldn't take her COVID vaccine. It's disgusting. Then, leading up after that, we went to 2020. It all started with Kobe Bryant.
Yes. He has something on his shirt that says, something my Fauci.
He died in a helicopter crash, and just when I didn't think it could get any worse, COVID came around, and then the science deniers appeared this year, 2020.
Yeah, that sounds like a troll. It's way too exaggerated.
Is really when we started to see the science deniers and the racists. They came out of the closet. And no, I am not gay. I'm metrosexual.
Okay, at this point, it's a fake. I'm not gay, I'm metrosexual. That was a joke in 1994. I made that joke, I was 8 years old. I guess it's coming back in fashion. Okay. Go Away says, have you commented on the Volunteers for Ukraine subreddit? Lots of cringe content coming from this subreddit. Do you think the Redditors will turn the tide of the war, or will it be used by the US to sneak NATO fighters into the country? I haven't looked at this Reddit, so I'll keep it here in my browser and I'll look at it tonight. But definitely there is a strategy being deployed in some NATO countries of Europe where they are enacting a special law that says if you want to go fight in Ukraine, you can. So but you'll be on your own. So it's like they don't want to make it look like those are NATO soldiers. They are just individuals who have chosen to go fight in Ukraine. And so that's kind of the beginning of the involvement of NATO in a way that they hope Vladimir Putin will not interpret as being hostilities from the given country. But it's as close as it gets to sending soldiers in. So, you know, these passive-aggressive ways that Western Europe has found to kind of get involved in the conflict and providing so much weapons. The question is, in the end, Putin has decided that he will win. So everything that you do that will slow this process will create more pain for the Ukrainian people, will increase the death toll, and ultimately will just create more division in the world. So I don't like this strategy that the West has chosen, but it's kind of a prelude at what the West is probably truly thinking, which is that once Putin has successfully taken half or two-thirds of Ukraine, they will do whatever they can for him not to complete the takeover of Ukraine. So they will make it very costly for him to advance further west. And that is fine. I don't think that Putin cares that much about taking the whole of Ukraine. it will depend on what's available in terms of strategic cost for him. What will probably happen is that eventually NATO will form a boundary that they will say Putin doesn't step further than this or we're in the conflict. Cloud Warmer says, Jeff, what do you think of the Saudi Kingdom news earlier? Saudi Arabia considers option of reducing investments in the U.S., says Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. The kingdom's investment in China are less than $100 billion, but growing very fast. So I've just had a disconnection from Odyssey, but hopefully we've had this in another show, so you guys may lose me momentarily. But I will come back, and I'm still here. And when you rewatch the show, there won't be these pauses. So I don't know what's causing these things. It seems to be connection problems with Odyssey, but I am still live. It should reappear in your window within seconds. They came looking for CRP at JF's place. So I think we should be back online very soon. You might have to refresh your browser. We are back online. JFG has been resurrected. Imperial Dissent says, can you please stop clearing your throat? I'm trying to do the best I can, and most of the time I cut the microphone out, but sometimes you'll have to excuse me. Sometimes I may not think about it, and I have a lot of things to manage as part of this show. And sorry if you have to hear one cough or two. But seriously, stop talking to me about this. I'm doing my best. Here, just to annoy you, I will cough. Craziest 2 minutes of TV news ever, with opposing guest on the Ukraine war, hosted by Indian TV.
Daniel McAdams, just take a bit of a chill pill. I didn't even address the question to you. Relax. Calm down.
I don't want to relax. No, my country is
well
at
then,
war.
Well, Mr. McAdams, if you are so concerned, about Ukrainians, then hang on. Mr. McAdams, if you're so concerned about...
So here, this guy is labeled as Daniel McAdams. So he's speaking to this guy.
Hang on, if you're so concerned about Ukraine...
And this guy would be Bodan Nihilo.
Get off the fence and send your forces and put boots on the ground. Don't lecture us here in India, okay? I'm not going to hear your lecture. And if you have really problems, go tell go tell the U.S. President, Mr. Biden, who flashes. Who flashes his fancy credentials. Don't, Mr. McAdams, tonight. Don't, Mr. McAdams, tonight. Play the cat's paw for the West here. Do not do that. Hang on. You ask those Afghans what they have gone through falling off planes because you dumped them. You ask the African nations because you dumped them. You go ask millions and millions of Iraqi citizens because you dumped them. You people and your colonial agenda, sir, has wrecked the South, has wrecked the South, has wrecked the East. And don't sit here and lecture us. Don't sit here and lecture us, Mr. McAdams. We shut him down.
I'm not talking. It's the other guy who's talking. I haven't been able to say a word.
Absolutely. The man has gone completely ballistic. And if he feels so strongly, he should go and fight alongside Ukrainians who are being killed.
Dear host, I have not said a word yet. I don't know why you're yelling at me.
I'm not yelling at you. I'm talking about Mr. McAdams.
I am Mr. McAdams, and I haven't said a word, so stop yelling at me.
Okay, sorry. I got that confused.
So we are losing connections. We are losing even the TV. Okay, I hope that we are back. In any case, yes, despite the fact that, you know, when Odyssey bugs, it bugs twice. So I think we should be good now. We should be good to continue the show. But you know, even if the show goes wrong tonight, I will keep recording the show so that I can upload a full version. We had two interruptions, and the last time it happened, it was also a two interruption series. I don't know what's happening at Odyssey. In any case, this clip, as it turns out, what we discover at the end is he's been yelling at the wrong guy because he's improperly labeled. He's yelling at McAdams on top, but McAdams is the guy on the bottom. And he's truly yelling not at McAdams, who would be a libertarian, but he's yelling at the pro-Ukraine guy. I mean, both were probably pro-Ukraine to a certain extent, but he was yelling at the wrong guy. And at some point, the other guy is so pissed and he comes and he's like, "You're yelling at the wrong guy. I am McAdams." So 2 minutes of yelling at each other on Indian TV, but all of it was by error. MetaMask, OpenSea blocks expose Web3 centralization. MetaMask and OpenSea are reportedly blocking Iranian and Venezuelan users. MetaMask said that its service provider Infura blocks some jurisdiction due to legal compliance. So MetaMask is this decentralized thing. So I think that you should be okay if you're in these countries with a per MetaMask wallet, but they have a service. They have a service called, I just said the word, but now I'm not finding it anymore. Infura, and somehow this thing is web dependent. But we realize that in countries that make these things illegal, they are now unable to access those. So it's true. It's important to keep everything truly decentralized, because if you're just a little bit not decentralized, you're going to be subject to legal attacks and legal deprivation of access. 9-year-old Brazilian boy Googles how to sneak onto a plane, ends up traveling almost 2,000 miles. A family in Brazil was recently united with their 9-year-old son that was reported missing after the young traveler snuck onto a flight, the New York Post reported Tuesday. Oliveira first Googled how to get on a plane unnoticed, then snuck out of his house to a nearby airport and entered a plane without a ticket, the NYP reported. The 9-year-old reportedly boarded a LATAM plane and traveled nearly 2,000 miles from the city of Manaus. You gotta be kidding me. My God, that is hardcore. Horse Feathers says MetaMask works through Google's Chrome. Trust it? MetaMask, the thing is, even if it's an extension to Google Chrome, I think it's a true decentralized thing. So I think your signal to the blockchains don't pass through an intermediary. So I don't think that Google could be able to block it. Google might make it hard. They might remove it from the Play Store or something like that. But you would always be able to get the binary of MetaMask and of the extension and kind of install it on your own. There would always be a way, I think. Unless these companies go totally wrong and they start hiding their seed functionings, I think there would be a way, I think. All right, well, as it turns out, it's already the end for tonight. There's a guy who sent me an email saying, "Jeff, you have to talk about the worm question." And he sent me this graph. He says, "Jeff, people are ingesting embryonated eggs. Larvae are coughed up and swallowed, re-entering the gastrointestinal tract. The worms live inside of our digestive system. They go into the environment through feces, and then they create more eggs that are expelled through coughing. Or we breathe in the feces, and somehow they produce eggs in our lungs, and I didn't know that there was a big question around these worms. I'm not super worried. I think if you're healthy, these worms should be minimal in terms of their disruption of your life. They probably don't exist in most people. They probably develop when you have serious health issues in the first place. So just don't breathe feces, I guess. Like, what do you want my take to be on this? He's like, JF, I insist, I've been researching this. You need to talk about it. Well, okay, now I've talked about it, but what do you want me to say as an intellectual? Like, oh yeah, we have to combat these worms. Sometimes people have such specific fascinations. It's amazing. And sometimes people get really pissed because I don't talk about it. Well, there you go. I talked about it in this case. I've addressed the worm question. Go away, says Jeff. Why do you think they were trying to suppress the use of ivermectin? The WEF wants us to be full of worms. Well, that's kind of, you sound kind of the guy who wrote to me, because he was somehow linking this to the whole COVID ivermectin dewormer thing. And he was saying that there's kind of a campaign against worms. It's like they have prepared the population to hate dewormers. And so it's kind of a psyop against the concept of dewormers. So they want to open, so if I'm following what I think I understand from his emails, they are preparing your mind to accept the worms, because you won't want to be dewormed, and so you'll be wormed. So the point of attack on the body from the government is to disable people's ability to consume dewormer. That is totally paranoid, but it made me laugh when I read this email. Barnabé says, Jeff, you have to discuss the implications of Robert Fortune's mission to China when he committed the biggest industrial espionage mission on the behalf of the West Indian Tea Company in the mid-1800s. There's no way around it. You guys are trolling me at this point. I'm going to sleep. Much love. We'll keep following the news. Yes, I will talk a lot about the war these days. I'm also trying to finish my reading of Frank Salter. And to the people who have asked me to read this, I'm still on it, but it's a long book and I'm not through yet. So one day we'll have interspersed among the war coverage that we have, we will have some review of the Frank Salter concept of ethnicity and genes and a kind of kinship relationship within the nation. Much love. See you all tomorrow. Thank you.